Well, welcome everyone to our first episode of Inside the NEWHA, the New England Women's Hockey Association. Bernie Corbett, very pleased to be working with this new league and being able to work once again with Commissioner Bob DiGregorio. Bob, our guest here today to kind of give us a little bit of background, and we're going to be exploring the league all season, having an opportunity to meet the coaches and profile players around the NEWHA, and Bob is certainly our starting point as the commissioner of this fledgling Division One league. Bob, welcome, and the only way I can welcome you in, Bob, for those that have followed the college hockey scene and know that you stepped away from Atlantic Hockey and essentially retired from Atlantic Hockey in the CHA, is that you are not the retiring type.
I made a commitment to the new and I'm going to, be with them for at least three more years. We've grown the league now, and we had our eighth team. We celebrated the addition of Assumption University, so we've got eight schools now playing Division One women's ice hockey, and we're very, very excited about that. Last year was our first year with an automatic qualifier. And LIU went to the NCAA tournament to represent us as in our first year with the automatic qualifier. They won the league and the tournament last year. They did a great job. And Kelly Nash is back again this year with a pretty solid lineup, and I believe she's tied for first place right now. So I'm very happy to be back. We're trying to grow it, as you well know, Bernie. Not easy. We got a lot of tough competition out there, but we're not only growing our league, but we're also growing the sport of Division One women's ice hockey.
And this configuration of the league now, we want to make sure that everybody knows with Long Island, Post, Assumption, and Stonehill, Sacred Heart, St. Mike's, Franklin Pierce, St. Anselm's, and then you mentioned Assumption, first year as a full member under the direction of Jack Sweeney. And Assumption, I might want to note, certainly playing a representative schedule outside of the conference, already matching up and playing toe-to-toe with Dartmouth there on opening night just a couple weeks ago.
Yes, he did. He went up to Dartmouth, and they opened up, and they lost 3-2, but it was a great game, first-year program. And, when you look at his lineup, he's got one senior that is part of the portal, and two juniors, a sophomore, and he had 17 freshmen in the lineup that night. So, for Jack's a first-year coach. He got I actually watched them play on Friday night. I went up to St. Anselm's, and there was a 3-3 tie, and in overtime, it stays tie in the new hour. We do not do the shootout. I mean, that got them their first ever, new high point with the tie. But again, he had, I think it was 18 freshmen in the lineup in the first game, and I wasn't at the second game on Saturday. I attended the Stonehill Post-University game. But he's working hard, and I'll tell you what, he's got quite a lineup of young ladies. When they had the inaugural night, Bernie, and opened up in Worcester against RIT, which was a great game. Unfortunately, they lost 3-2. They had a parents' night, and I met parents, two sets of parents from Minnesota, one from North Dakota, three or four from Canada. So, he's shaking the bushes, and he's working hard. And I think they're going to be another strong representative as the program develops.
Keep an eye on Assumption there, the new program. You mentioned about Long Island, outstanding year, 20 wins last season, and picked to finish first in the preseason poll, not surprisingly, with the presence of the goaltender of the year, Tindra Holm, returning from last year, Swedish native, and also a Jeannie Wallner, who was the forward of the year. So the cupboard is far from bare with Long Island. They got a pretty good core back to try to get them back once again in the NCAAs.
Yeah, they certainly do. And as I said, they're already tied, I believe, with Franklin. Yeah, they are tied with Franklin Pierce. Both have 2 wins. And then St. A's is right in there now. They're in third place. I think it's going to be close. I would give LIU because of the experience and the depth that she has. You know, like the coaches, they voted them number one, and there's a reason for it. The skilled kids that they have are all back, and I think they'll do a fine job. I know Kelly wasn't really happy with the way they had the opening games with non-league competition. They didn't play as well as they thought they would, but I think they'll be back, and they'll be a very strong representative for the New Hearts throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned with Long Island at the top of the standings, St. A's, which returns to some all-stars and all-rookie selections from a year ago. Another program to watch. Stonehill, a lot of good young talent, it appears, on that Stonehill team, Bob. They were surprised semifinalists last season in the league tournament in just their first year.
Yeah, that's right. Their first year at Tara did a great job in her first year. And because she did such a good job, she went from being the head coach at Stonehill to the head coach at Boston University, her alma mater. So now we have EJ. Lee J has now come in and taken over. And I saw them play post on Saturday, and they got their first win. And I think once she gets a foothold in here and she'll keep that in the league going. Lee J played her college at hockey at Boston College and knows very well how tough Division I women's ice hockey can be.
And Franklin Pierce program got to game three of the quarterfinals with Sacred Heart, put a pretty big scare in there last year, and then on to the semifinals against Long Island, and almost an upset of Long Island there, and a 2-1 loss in overtime with the job that Franklin Pierce did last year. Once again, showing the depth of this league, Bob, and the parity of this league in a very short time.
Yeah, and David has a very good club back again this year as well, and he's got a very good goaltender, some real fine forwards that have returned. I haven't seen them personally yet, but they're very well coached. David does a real fine job with them, and I would think that they're going to be giving everybody fits as they play this year. And Jen up at St. Anselm's, I know that they're moving. They've got a very strong team returning. They've got some very nice freshmen, a couple of nice D's that she picked up and brought in, and I think that they'll, with goaltending, could also be at the top of the pack. Sacred Heart's going to be a little younger this year, but Tom O'Malley's a great coach, and with that facility that they have down there, I think that they'll be in the mix. So it's interesting. I tell you, I watched Boston Stonehill and Post University. She's got some forwards that can really fly, but she's got some young defensemen, and I saw some of that young defense mistakes in the game that they played against Stonehill on Saturday. But Gretchen's a great coach, and I think she'll do a good job and continue to build this program. I think it's going to be very tight. If anybody really pulls away, I'll be surprised, because there's so much depth in the league. I mean, everybody's got 26 to 28 people on their roster, and they're all hungry to play, which is a good thing, as you well know.
Oh, no doubt about that. And notice also, Bob, with the as far as the coaching brotherhood of the league, sisterhood of the league, a lot of very bright young coaches that have put time in on staffs that have been successful, and now are getting the opportunity. And you know from being around athletics all your life, you get that opportunity. A lot of times, your first opportunity, a great deal of enthusiasm, acumen that's brought. For example, you mentioned Gretchen Silverman. Now she's coming into her second year, and Chris at Post, and Chris Donovan in second year at St. Mike's. So there's a lot of coaches, and Kelly Nash, aforementioned Kelly Nash in the second year, third year for Jen at St. Anselm's. A lot of very bright young coaches that have come into the game and part of this league.
Yeah, they are, and all of the young ladies all experienced Division One women's ice hockey, so they know what it takes, and they know what they need to build their programs. And I just think the league, as it grows, if they all continue to grow the way they're going, it's going to be one hell of a competitive league every year. And I would hope that one of our automatic qualifiers in the next 2 or 3 years before I retire from this league, Bernie, wins a quarterfinal round in the NCAA tournament and then moves on to the Frozen Four, which would be great.
No doubt. And I mentioned about Sacred Heart, Tom O'Malley, he is the veteran coach in the league. I've known Tom around hockey circles going back, familiarity with him, his roots back to Boston College and so forth. And a very good friend of mine's daughter had played for him going back a number of years ago now. Mm. So Tom is really, I think he's probably a guy that you kind of look to. He's kind of the rock of this league with his long two-decade experience as being in charge of a women's program.
Tom's a real good, he's a gentleman, he's a real fine coach, he's a good recruiter, and now they've got that brand new facility down at Granat. So I think that that's obviously attractive. Sacred Heart's a great academic institution, so I think he'll do well there. As a matter of fact, they are hosting the women's icebreaker coming weekend at Sacred Heart, their new facility, and that will be a great tournament. I know that Northeastern opens up with St. Cloud University for the first game on Friday, and the second game is Lindenwood is playing Sacred Heart. So I'll be there all weekend because my team is hosting, so we're supplying the officials, and Gene and I will be there all weekend at the tournament, and we're looking forward to it.
Bob will be there. That's going to issue that. Bob will be there all weekend, so try the veal and tip your waiters and waitresses. Bob will be appearing with Gino all weekend long.
Yeah, we'll sell a lot of tickets, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Bob's still a drawing card after all these years, indeed. And just a really great to see just overall with your career and your tenure at Hockey East as a commissioner, and then a founding commissioner with Atlantic Hockey and the CHA, and now founding commissioner of this league, which is its fifth year and second year moving here to the Division One level from D3, putting these eight teams together. Bob, you and I have just talked over the years, and many times the subject has been opportunity and presenting opportunity. This league is just, I think it's just a great thing. What a boon this is for college hockey to have the opportunity for these schools now to compete at the Division One level. I mean, it's really a breath of fresh air.
Well, it's important because it also grows the sport of women's ice hockey. As you know, Bernie, the women, they have an 11 team tournament now, but we're up to 41 schools now. With 41 women's programs, if we can get up to 48, we can expand probably to 12. We can petition to expand to 12, which will show growth, which will give more opportunity to more people, more teams to participate in the women's championship, which is so important. And it's when you are trying to get people to add a sport, when they see that there's greater opportunity by adding the sport to what they have at their campuses already, it really helps. So growth of this is very, very important. Even right now I've had some informal conversations with two schools who could certainly elevate their programs and move to Division One. And I'm hoping if they do that we're able to get them to join us. That would give us 10. I don't know if it will happen in my time as commissioner, but that would be an ideal situation for the women's league. So, the overall importance to me is always on both the men's and the women's side is to grow the game, create more opportunities for Division One competition, grow the tournament. I mean, 12, I was on the committee, the championships committee for the men for 4 years from 1994 to 1998, and then bang, we got it to grow to 16 as the leagues, as more leagues came on, as more teams started playing, which created, again, more opportunity for member institutions to play in the national tournament. So I just hope that that continues, that both the men's and the women's programs continue to grow and create opportunities for these student-athletes to play at the Division I level.
And already indicative of the parity going back to the Division III days of the league, 2018, I count, what, five teams that have had a piece of the rock there as far as the champion. St. A's winning it back-to-back 18-19. You had Sacred Heart, you had Franklin Pierce and Long Island sharing, and then Long Island last year. That's indicative of the overall strength of the league from top to bottom.
Yeah, it is, and that's, you know, as I said, they're all they've all got equal opportunity to recruit, but they're also out there recruiting now against BU and Providence and St. Lawrence and Minnesota. So they've got to join the mix. They've got to sell themselves. They've got to sell their program. They have to sell their institution academically and in terms of their support for women's athletics. And I just think that it's we have great schools in our league, and I think that you don't start a program or a league and have a champion in 1 year. It takes time to grow and develop and strengthen, and I think that will continue.
Indeed it will, and it will continue along with you as the commissioner, at least for the next 3 years to look forward to, Bob. And thank you for the opportunity to work with you to continue. I was heartbroken. I don't know if I'm going to be working with you anymore, but we took care of that, and I'm working with you again, and I'm very excited to be working with the Neuha League and having the opportunity once again to profile coaches and players as we go along the road of this season. And finally, Bob, I'd be remiss if I wasn't going to mention, you talk about your weekend coming up, but a special day coming up for you, an induction and much deserved induction to the Boston State / UMass Boston Hall of Fame, your alma mater. You have to be, I'm sure, absolutely thrilled about that, about that recognition that you're going to receive.
Yeah, you know, it's they really caught me by surprise when they called me to tell me I was going in the Hall of Fame. I was really surprised. I had a couple of the people from the selection committee call me and congratulate me. I mean, I loved my days at Boston State and the opportunity that Coach Barry gave me to play hockey. And I'm certainly not going in there because of the points I scored, maybe the penalty minutes, but just the chance that he gave me, and he didn't have to give it to me. And the people and the fine, my friends that I got to play with, and but the education I got and the relationships I developed. I mean, Ed and I go back to when I started coaching in Winthrop with Bill Falaska, and I'm on the ice with Bill, and we've got the team. As a matter of fact, it was the year that we, one of the years that he came in was 76, the year we won the state championship and everything, and I look over and here's this guy in the soft hat banging on the glass at me, and it's Eddie Barry here watching our practice. And then he came down to the locker room with our first win in against Eddie Burns in the Garden, and he comes down and he sees me in the locker room. Of course, having been a former Bruin, he had access to everything.
He'd get around.
So, yep. And Ed, there was no barrier big enough to stop him. So, but that relationship continued. I was always in contact with him, always talking to him. When I moved on to Merrimack College and became the AD there, and I played golf with him. He was a great golfer, a member of Charles River. I played a couple of celebrity tournaments over there on Mondays, and I mean, he was just a great human being. But the other great people, Gus Sullivan, I never really knew that administration might be the path. I thought maybe I would stick with coaching, but I always remember the things Gus said and all the work that he put in at Boston State. You know, we never had our own fields. We never really had our own campus. We were spread out all over the place. And they were just great. You know, Billy Squires and Jim Lusketoff, Peter Seder, Dr. Barney, all the professors that were there. They were just great, great people to be associated with, and they always, always were willing to go the extra mile. Like Gordy Webb, the great lacrosse coach and professor there, who just died, which was a shocker. It's funny because Billy Rafuse and Leo Dawson, both lacrosse All-Americans at Boston State, were my first two lacrosse coaches at Merrimack. Wow. When I see them, they both put their hands out because they think I still owe them money. because let me tell you something. They did a great job for the first couple of years while they were there, and we weren't paying a lot of money, let me tell you. But their loyalty and their toughness, they really helped develop the program and made it prosper. So, again, I say, I was in shock when I got the call. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I am looking forward to Sunday. I wish my mother and father were still alive so they could be there for it. But I'll have my son and his wife, my daughter and her husband, and my wife and family, and at least we'll be there to see the induction.
Well, all the best with that, with a great moment, signature moment in your long and illustrious career. As a player, coach, administrator, and celebration on Sunday there with the much-deserved Hall of Fame induction. Congratulations, Bob, and thank you for allowing me the opportunity to work with your latest venture here with the Newha, with the new Newha, and looking forward to working with the league here during the season.
All right, very good, Bernie, and thank you as always. It's always a pleasure. All right, thank you.
Bob DiGregorio.
Dale Dunbar just came in my office, and he says hi.
Well, wish him a belated happy birthday, because we do have the same birthday, October 14th, and I still am a year older than him.
You're still a year older than him, that's all?
Yeah, 1960 and 1961, October 14th.
You guys were close to me October 7th, 1946. So
that's right. You got the Ray Bork. You got 77 now. Wear it proudly.
All right. Bob. Thank you very much, Bernie.
Thank you. Thanks, Bob. Bob DiGregorio, commissioner of the Newha, our guest here on our first edition of Inside NEWHA Hockey.